All right, hey, it's been a busy time on the plane, so there's literally no one better to talk to than our buddy Mike G over at the War Report. Mike, how you doing, man?
Good. Happy New Year, Mike. It's been definitely a busy time on the planes here with Alex Golish starting his official era to Auburn football. We had to get through this first part, Mike.
Yes, well, a month on the job for Alex Golish. What what are you thinking so far? I'm not asking you to grade him or anything, but is this kind of what you anticipated would happen with, there's always transition when there's a new coach come in there, but I know there's been some panic. Are you panicked at all?
I don't know if panic is the word I would use to describe it, but I definitely thought there would be more retention, Mike. And here's the pass that I'm giving Alex Golish that I think that most fans need to understand is that there's a human nature to the exodus of players right now. Number one, a lot of these players did not have a good experience at Auburn the last 2 years with the last coaching staff. And while that's not Golish's fault, you know, Mike, I used to live in Phoenix. I once went to an IHOP 3 times in a row and got food poisoning 3 times in a row. Every time I see an IHOP, I'm like, my stomach like kind of turns, right? And you know, and the next IHOP's in another state and it's a different staff and it's not their fault I got food poisoning, but my mind associates that feeling of food poisoning with IHOP, right? And Auburn is some of these kids' IHOP. I don't know if that analogy sticks, but it is part of it. So a lot of fans are taking it really personally that some of these kids don't want to be here, and you just have to understand that they didn't have a super positive experience, and it is a tall task to ask them to stay in a place where they have developed so much maybe like negative juju. And if you have value on the NIL market, now Auburn is on an even playing field, you know, from a money standpoint with those other schools that you may go to. And if they have a better track record with development and production, then they have an advantage over you. And I think that's what we're seeing. So until we see Alex Golish at Auburn, you know, I think Byron Brown's coming in. Not ready to confirm that, but I think it's conventional wisdom says he's coming in. He comes in, he balls out, right? You know, getting your next Deuce Knight may be a little bit easier. But right now, if you're Deuce, you're thinking, well, you know, I'm not sure that I trust this guy. But he hadn't had time to develop any real trust with any of these kids. That's not his fault, though. But it just is what it is. So I am disappointed that they couldn't retain a little bit more of this five-star talent, because I still think you just need dogs to win, bro. I don't know if you saw Ole Miss Georgia last night, but I just saw players all over the field making plays, high-level players. And Ole Miss came out on top, but God, man, Georgia is just so hard to beat because they just have guys who will just show up and make plays when you need them to do. And Auburn eventually will need that if they want to compete at that level.
I'm just trying to sit here and think, after the second food poisoning, who goes back a third time? I mean, what is there a story there? I mean, 2 out of 2.
I love omelets. And for what it's worth, I was living like half a mile from IHOP in Scottsdale, Arizona. And so it was like, it was tough. It was like, oh, but it's closed. And what are the chances of getting food poisoning twice in a row, right? Like, you know, nope, 3 times.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all right. That's a little bit more understandable. Well, I also think it's understandable that, and again, you tell me if I'm wrong here, but with transition, Auburn already last season, from what I was told, had one of the higher paid rosters in the country. You know, not number one by any means, but up there. And if the players were already getting paid, and maybe not extensively their fault, I think it's more coaching than anything, but a lot of the guys didn't deliver. I think it's natural to, I would think most players are probably looking for more money. So if you're looking for more money or the same money and you weren't delivering, regardless of who the coach was, whether it's Golish or John Sumrall or Lane Kiffin was your coach, I think an exodus of a lot of players is going to happen regardless. Is that, do you think that's fair?
Yeah, I think maybe it was a little hopeful on our parts to think that they would retain more than they have. And honestly, if you're John Cohen, I think what you're discovering right now is how deeply toxic the previous culture truly was and why you had to change coaches. And, you know, he has not bashed Hugh Freeze since Freeze has left, you know, and he's kind of taken like a, well, I can't tell you why it didn't work. And now I think he's starting to figure out why it didn't work, because those stories are starting to come out and these players are saying, while we like Auburn as a place and a university in this city, you had a staff here and a coach here who just didn't deliver on a lot of stuff, man. You know, he got all the resources to go out there and get the five-star roster that he needed. But we've seen example of this after example of this over the last few years that, Mike, it doesn't matter how many five stars you get. You can still coach them into the ground. We saw Jimbo Fisher do this at Texas A&M. Every resource available, and somehow turned in losing seasons. Hugh Freeze said, hold my beer, and came in and did the same thing. So I think that Golish is hungry. I've said this repeatedly about Hugh, and I don't want to spend such a ton of time talking about him, but for contrast purposes, it just felt to me like Freeze lost that thing, that fire you need to coach at this level and win at this level. And I know we talk a lot about his golfing and stuff, but I think he became apathetic about the job and thought that he had a formula and he failed to evolve. I think he didn't listen to the smart people around him, and it landed him in the unemployment line. Golish is not that. Right, these guys are looking for ways to innovate. They're open to ideas. They're collaborating. They are working their butts off right now. I had a few staff members message me and just say, hey, look, nobody's going to work. Nobody's going to outwork us. We're going to get out there. We're going to hit the recruiting trail, and we may not win every kid initially, but we're going to get after it, and we're going to show these kids in year one why Auburn is the place they need to be in year two and year three and year four. So I like that attitude. I think that says a lot for the character of this new staff, and I think that will beget more kids of character to come into your program who can play ball at a high level but also do the right things on and off the field.
And then obviously a huge name that went into the portal, Cam Coleman, by a lot of accounts. He's the highest rated non-quarterback in the portal, and probably a lot of people would say he's better than any of the quarterbacks in the portal. How big of a surprise was that? And at the same time, you know, could you fault him for even doing it? Because I'm sure the Auburn family would have loved to have him back, but he doesn't know this coach that well. He doesn't know who his quarterback's going to be. He's basically got 1 year before he's jumping to the NFL. He's got to get, you know, as ready for that as humanly possible. And I know it's a tough blow to Auburn, but I think, and again, they wanted him back. I know that, but you know, for what they were going to pay him potentially, I think you could probably get 2, 3, maybe even 4 quality receivers that will match or probably even better his production. So even losing a elite player like that, while it is not ideal, I mean, I think it could turn out to be, something that doesn't hurt Auburn. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I like that logic. Let me, first of all, I want to go back to something you said about Auburn. I want to be clear, because every time a kid leaves that fans really want to stay, there's a subset of the fan base that turns to just bashing the kid. And suddenly we start hearing all these stories about him that we didn't hear before. I don't like that. Like, don't do that. Let's be better than that. Don't start bashing these kids just because he made the decision he felt like was best for him to leave, right? Cam is a good kid. And, I blame the adults in the room more than anything. They were supposed to be the examples for these kids on how to work and behave. And you fired the coach because they weren't getting that. So let's be clear on that. Number two, Mike, there were kids that Auburn that wanted money that Auburn let walk and said, sorry, we're not paying you that. Three, Cam was not one of those kids. The rev share deal that they had on the table would have made him a top five rev share player in all of college football. So when I tell people that Cam leaving wasn't about money, I'm saying that Auburn had enough money on the table that he's not reasonably going to get much more than what Auburn had on the table, if at all, without the NCAA clearinghouse coming in and saying this deal is not market. And we're going to ixnay it. And they're watching the Cam Colemans more closely than they are everybody else, because these kids are high profile and they know what they're worth. So the market will push back at some point. Remember Nico wanted 4 and Heupel said no. And then he hit the market and he found out he wasn't worth 4. Right. So I want people to understand that Auburn wanted Deuce Knight to stay. They had a top tier deal on the table for Deuce to essentially potentially be the backup next year. So losing a Deuce and a Cam it hurts from a standpoint that, you know, the Golish wanted those kids. Those were the first two I can point to that I know they really wanted to stay. And they made a decision to leave. Now, to what you said about, well, if you can go out and you can get two or three guys a step down from Cam Coleman, if you have your trigger man, you might be in a better situation offensively than you were with just one Cam Coleman and all his buddies left, right? Perry Thompson gone, Malcolm Simmons gone, Eric Singleton's going pro. So, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, it's, you know, they've got to have success. The portal is officially open as we're recording this. They've got to go out and find the guys in the portal. And I think Golish is really adept at that. I think that their staff is good at identifying those sorts of talents. And every once in a while, man, like, you get a guy through that, again, no one sees coming. You have talked about this repeatedly when you talk about Lane Kiffin. Like, one of the biggest tragedies of the Ole Miss situation was that Trinidad Chambliss, a three-star player, was one of the best stories in college football. I've heard you say this, and all anybody's talking about is Lane, right? Can Golish and staff go out and find their Trinidad and find their guys that could come in and play at that level? Let me tell you something. That kid was amazing last night, but he wasn't a five-star coming out of high school. So those kids are out there. In year one, you got to find as many of them as you can. The portal allows you the ability to be able to flip a roster quickly. And then you have to have a system that puts it all together faster and better than your peers in conference. You see some raw in month one, right? You've got a road schedule in October that sees you going to Ole Miss, Georgia, and Tennessee. And then LSU comes to the Plains. It's crazy, right? And then you've got a pretty light November that ends always in the Iron Bowl. But, man, I think – while it's a tough schedule, it's going to be about how they manage that October. They open with Baylor and Atlanta. I think they can win that game. Auburn has a chance to win eight games next year if they can put it all together. Anything less than that, I will see as an abject failure for the staff, period. I don't care what the roster situation is. You know, I think that these kids were coached down so badly. If you can't go out and win seven games and tell me, oh, we did two better than free, so look, we're better. No, no, no. Go win eight, however you got to get it. And beat somebody that you outcoached somebody. That was so the disappointing part of the last 3 years was what game that we look at and we were like, man, they outcoached that team. That was the more talented team, but boy, we put together a game plan that was better than what they had. That's what Golish needs to bring to the Plains first. And I'm telling you, if he can do that, in year two, the talent will start to follow because he's got the resources to go out and put deals on the table that will make those five-star kids come play in a system that proves it can produce.
Yeah, and you mentioned Deuce Knight there again, so we don't know where he'll end up, but you know, you almost got to go somewhere where you can play, don't you think, to showcase what you, I mean, 2 years on the bench, or bench is maybe a strong word, but being a non-starter for an SEC team, that's just the nature of the game, isn't it, where Auburn may have a competitive offer on the table for him, but these guys only got so much time to create film for the NFL. And I think, was that a huge reason for Deuce leaving?
Yeah, look, he wanted to compete. He wanted to compete in year two. So 1 year on the bench, but he saved a red shirt. So the clock starts ticking this year. And once the clock starts ticking, you want to know that you're in a real quarterback battle. I go back and forth with this over fans. I'm not changing my mind on it, Mike. At the end of the day, if you're Deuce Knight, when we got a chance to see Deuce, albeit against Mercer, everybody likes to make a big deal, it was against Mercer, he looked amazing. How many backups have we seen go out against competition and not look like Deuce looked? He could have scored 10 touchdowns that day if they had let him. And his first play from scrimmage is a 75-yard touchdown. I mean, give me a break, man. This kid is extremely talented. And the issue that they ran into was once the noise of Byron Brown started to come up, it's like, all right, here we go. I just had a coach who settled on a quarterback before that guy even practiced here. And it turns out he might have been the worst quarterback on the roster the entire time. So I really sat behind him for no reason. And not just on game day. I'm talking about in practice. This guy was getting reps as QB1 all year when Ashton and Deuce were potentially better quarterbacks. So if I smell that I might be in that situation again, I'm probably leaving. right? And I think that anywhere that he wants to play football, he's going to have to compete for the job next year. So it's not about not wanting to compete. It's about who you're competing against, with, and what you're competing against. All these guys think they're the best. But I can't compete against your bias towards another player, if that makes sense. And you coach this other kid for 3 years. He already knows your system. And he's got 1 year left to play, and you're telling me he doesn't have a huge leg up on me? That's an uphill battle for his first year where he wants to play. These guys want to play football, man. That's it. I think that's how Auburn lost Perry Thompson, essentially. You sat him for his whole first year. You didn't use him. And then in year two, you brought in Horatio Fields from Wake Forest, and you sat him again until Horatio got hurt. And then you start playing him, and we start seeing flashes, and we're like, why wasn't he on the field the entire time? Alabama's not doing this. Other schools weren't doing this. You are sitting five-star players, and you're bringing in – now, I wonder if it would have been better for the long term. I think Eric Singleton is a great receiver, but would it have been better for you to invest in the high school guys you claimed were so critical to building a program than constantly going to the portal to bring in the next guy and then spending $1 million on him, Mike? Invest in the kid that you already brought out of high school. Get Perry along and get him on the field and figure it out. The development wasn't happening, right? Cam is a great receiver. He got zero development at Auburn. Now, just because he's a five-star doesn't mean he doesn't still need to be taught and developed. And so I think that they fell into the trap of thinking that they could out-recruit their lack of development. And Golish is not going to do that. But he's got to establish some proof of concept. Freeze is a great salesman. Everybody bought what he was selling when he got hired. So it wasn't just about Auburn putting money on the table. They all bought what he was selling. And it took about 2 years before people started to be like, I don't know if this is what, this might be snake oil, right? You know, the first year. And we kept hearing it. And it was just like, oh, but wait until this and that. And, you know, I mean, I know for a fact Auburn had a lot of kids who wanted to jump after year one, but they were able to sweeten the pot financially enough to make them just stay put. And if you're already there, it's kind of like, all right, well, if you can give me double and I get to stay home, right. Okay, maybe. After year two and going into year three, it was like, all right, dude, I don't know if there's enough money to keep me here. If this is how it's going to be, because ultimately I want to play football at the next level. And to do that, I need tape. And this offense was so far below average that if you're Golish, if you field anything that looks halfway competent, recruiting should be a lot easier in year two. So while there might be a lot of disappointment about not retaining a lot of these kids now, I'm not calling it a full rebuild, but let's just give it a year and see what he can do. If he can show himself to be competent as a play caller and as a developer, and I think it will get better in years two and three here after year one. I do believe that.
And again, while quarterbacks make the headlines, Cam Coleman's going to make the headlines. I believe Auburn is the only team in the Southeastern Conference that's losing every starter on offensive and defensive line. How big of a priority will that be in the portal? And what's your confidence that those lines of scrimmage can be shored up here for Auburn?
Here's what I can tell you. As of we're recording this, I'm looking down because I'm looking at my list here. I can't give you the names, Mike, but what I can tell you is in terms of potential official visits, there are 9 official visits that I think Auburn has coming up in the next 7 days. Of those 9, 7 of them are either offensive or defensive linemen, if that tells you anything. So there is a strong focus on fixing the line and particularly the offensive line. Because, we were told it would be one of the best in the last 10 or 15 years. That didn't pan out that way. And, you know, I think what we're seeing from some of these teams that are going deep in the playoffs, like, and look what Kirk Cignetti did along his lines, man. Look how they dominated Alabama along the lines. Other conferences and schools are catching up to what the SEC formula has been for a very long time. Dominate the trenches, and you can dominate a football game with your skill players. Every time, like through the BCS era, every time we got to a national title game, what did we see? The biggest gap in talent was along the offensive and defensive lines. They controlled the line of scrimmage and they just pushed guys around and did what they want. So they won like 8 or 9 straight national titles, and it just didn't look close. And every once in a while, a school like Ohio State or somebody else will catch us up and they have that line. But most consistently, it's been the SEC schools doing that. Other people are catching up to that formula. We saw Mario Cristobal go to Oregon and essentially take that same philosophy. Look, we got to build these lines, all these little quick undersized. Yeah. They were done with that. Then he went to Miami and did the same thing. Dan Lanning got to Oregon and carried that on. These are all former SEC guys that understand that you have to dominate the line of scrimmage. Golish comes in as a guy who used to coach at Tennessee that understands this, and they're doing it right now. So I think you'll see a strong offensive flavor to the portal along the lines very early, and hopefully they can land the guys they want. I don't think there are a lot of stud offensive linemen in the portal every year. It's just one of those positions where you don't see a good offensive lineman just saying, hey, I'm just going to go play someplace else. All right. Like, I mean, even though they're on a bad team, you can block the guy in front of you no matter where you're at. Right. Like, you know, you can get a good valuation where you're at. There are some really good players that just were buried on rosters or, you know, have that potential. And again, if you've got the development, you go find enough of those kids, you can put together a good line.
All right, last thing for you, Mike. Really appreciate your time. Again, we're only a month in, essentially, of the Alex Golish era. What is, in the first month, what is maybe the most impressive thing you've seen from Golish or his staff in their first month on the job?
Yeah, I think it's just been messaging and presence. Like, I mean, they haven't had time to do much. It's Christmas. The portal wasn't open. You know, they've come in and they've organized really quickly, and he got his staff in place fairly quickly. Freeze took a while to get his first staff together. I don't know if you remember what that was like, but it was like, dude, are you gonna hire anybody? So Golish had a plan, and he looks organized. He looks organized. He looks meticulous. And he got his guys in place. He knew who he wanted to go get. And you know, look, man, the formula is the formula. You hired the guy, now let him do the job. He's attacking it the way he thinks is best. And I've been impressed with how quickly administratively things have been come together to prepare for the portal and move on. I ran into him at a basketball game. Auburn basketball played NC State. And we were setting up an interview. And I just told him, I said, I know you're busy, so I'm going to let you get settled before I start trying to sit down and do interviews and stuff. And he said, I appreciate that, Mike. But coaches have this thing, Mike. Like, I don't, if you've ever talked to a head coach, and I know you guys at that SEC, but you guys had a pretty good relationship with Sam Pittman. I know Cousin Shane had a pretty good relationship with Sam Pittman. There are some coaches, when you talk to them, you can tell as soon as you start talking, they're counting the seconds until they walk away from you as media, right? Like, they don't want to be talking to you ever. Golish doesn't give me that self-important, like, thing that a lot of coaches have at times. He, you know, just very attentive and focused on you when you're talking to him. And I know this sounds weird, but like, I think that's going to play well in recruiting. I think that genuineness plays well in recruiting. And I like that about him. I've been very impressed about his presence with people. He just seems like a genuine guy. Now, whether his methodology works, we'll see. But as a person, I think that he's the type of person that I would send my son to go play for. And that matters in recruiting because these parents are very involved and, you know, they want to know that if they're turning their kid over to you, that their kid is in good hands. Now, this is something that's personally important to me. A lot of these kids have never had a strong male role model in their life until they get a coach in college. And for what it's worth, I think when you decide to commit somewhere, despite the fact that they're getting paid, these are still young men that need guidance and they need good, strong male leadership in their life. And I hope that they get that at Auburn under Alex Golish. So I'm not saying they didn't get some of that under Freeze.
I'll say it.
I'm just saying, like, it is my prayer for each one of these kids whenever they commit to Auburn that is something that they get here, and I've been impressed with what he's presented on that front.
All right, Mike Gittens from the War Report. Before you go, can you let our audience know how to follow you and how to find the War Report?
Thanks for having me, Mike. As always, follow us on social media at the War Report. Every social media platform, we are TW Report on TikTok. Find us on YouTube, sign up as a patron, lots of great off-season content. Follow me on Twitter, at Mike Gittens, on Instagram, at Mike Gittens _. Can't wait to report out on all the great things that happened this spring.
And this wild portal, you know what?